We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook out there. I'm your host, Rudo, joined by AJ Hafley, as always. And while the Avs have 3 days off in the bubble, most teams played either yesterday or today. So things are starting to shape up both in the play-in rounds as well as in the round robin. So one, we'll go over the Avs heading towards playing against Dallas tomorrow night. And two, we can look at some of the scenarios, how things might play out for the Avs, how things based on the round robin, where they could end up, some of the teams they might end up looking at playing against. First of all, AJ, your Isles did manage to take home win number two this morning. So congratulations on that.
Yeah, it helps that Florida looks awful.
Yeah. It has not been a fun bubble for Florida from the exhibition onward, basically.
Yeah. So far, all fun and games for the Isles. You know, Varley looks great. I feeling okay about that one right now, and now we got three shots to clinch that thing, so let's lock that down.
There you go. Sometimes lucky, I suppose. The play-in rounds have been interesting. Game one kind of felt like complete chaos. Had no idea what was going to happen. The 12 seeds popped off a little bit. Not totally unexpected, right? Because they played one exhibition game and you really didn't know what you were going to get.
Yeah, it really gave you the that true feel of just how chaotic hockey can get. Yeah,
exactly. Because
it's in like a best of seven, you know, you kind of have confidence in, especially when there's some separation in talent, like you have confidence that certain things are going to eventually work out. But in a one game, anything, you know,
any given night scenario,
there's any possibility a goalie just doesn't have it, as we saw with Mike Smith just definitely not having anything.
Yeah, that was like,
as we're seeing Darcy Kemper right now, is really helping Nashville get back in that one. You know, and that's the big thing. We talked about it. We said, hey, goalies are going to define this. Either they're going to do something insane or they're not. And like we talked like, hey, Carey Price was when the matchups came out, Carey Price against Pittsburgh. He'd done it before. It was a thing that, you know, that was, it was possible. You could understand if Carey Price, if he went off, Montreal would have a chance. And, you know, we've seen through two games so far, guy looks incredible. Just out of nowhere, randomly, didn't play very well all season. Doesn't matter, right? Like four months off, you have no idea what's going to happen. All he has to do is get hot for a week.
Yep.
And so now Montreal's in that. And I didn't think it would happen. I thought the chances were against them, against that happening. Now Carey Price looks great. And you're like, okay, well.
Goaltending, what it is, yeah. Like, and Voodoo City, basically. Thankfully, if Carey Price does do the unthinkable and move that team forward, that's not something the Avs really have to worry about, as that's in the East at least.
Yeah. But, and look at Philip Grubauer. We all kind of agreed that in the exhibition against Minnesota, looked a little fine, shaky.
Yeah, right.
Was not his normal see puck, stop puck. And then shows up against St. Louis and has no problem. Like gives up the one goal in the first four shots, is a perfect shot, is fine. Just locks it down from there. Plays great. Doesn't have to make any spectacular, oh my gosh, saves. Just does his job from then on.
Yeah.
And
he has a chance to win.
Going into that game, like that was one of the question marks. How's Gruby going to handle it? And handled it just fine. And here we are, feeling good.
Hard not to feel good about things, as the Avs are pretty much in the driver's seat when it comes to their round robin.
Yeah.
I suppose we should start there. Let's play out their round robin scenarios before we get into potential future opponents. They beat the Blues, so they are 1-0 alongside Vegas, who beat Dallas in regulation last night.
Quite the comeback.
Yeah, Vegas down 3-1 in the third period, end up winning that game 5-3, first of all. Dallas kind of collapsed. So the Avs are at worst can finish 1-2, which theoretically they could still finish in the fourth seed. But it would be very, very difficult for them to end up in the fourth seed.
Yeah, they'd have to Dallas
would have to win out.
Yeah. Vegas and Dallas would have to be the 1 and 2 seeds.
Right. Dallas would have to win out. Vegas would have to beat Colorado. And then St. Louis would have to
lose one of the two games.
Right. They'd have to lose to Dallas and then beat Vegas.
Whichever, it wouldn't matter. If both Colorado and
St. Louis finish 1-2. But Dallas has to win both of their games because they need more points than the Avs. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So that would be the only way that Colorado can get fourth right now. So if they win tomorrow, they guarantee a top two spot. They can't lock up the one seed, but if they beat Dallas tomorrow, they guarantee themselves 1 or 2.
They guarantee a top two seed with a win against the Dallas tomorrow.
And, you know, right now it's looking big. Like, we haven't really talked a lot about, like, possible matchups. Like, I want Vancouver, you know.
Yeah.
But we haven't really seriously looked at very many of the matchups. And we're getting down. Today's the first day potential elimination. So, of course, it's out east, but... The point is that it's happening fast,
right?
By the end of tonight, we will have Arizona, Nashville could be elimination. Calgary, Winnipeg will guaranteed be in the elimination phase. Minnesota, Vancouver could also slide into elimination.
Every single play-in round series has a back to back scheduled in it. So by the end of this week, teams will be eliminated in the West.
Yeah. Theoretically, Arizona because they're playing right now, and then they play tomorrow afternoon as well.
Could if be Arizona decided. Were, yeah.
Yeah, Arizona could Nashville could be eliminated before the Avs even play again.
Based on today's score, that's looking pretty unlikely, but it could happen.
Right. it's funny because Arizona's actually whooping that ass, but Darcy Kemper. So
can't stop a puck again, hard to win a game. Yeah.
Goaltending is just it's in best of fives, goaltending is going to be chaos king.
Yeah, for sure. It's incredible how much it affects the series. And I talked about it. We were watching on the DNVR lounge the Edmonton Chicago game the other night, and it's like all Edmonton really needs to get by Chicago is average goaltending, and they're just barely getting it, or they just barely got it in game two at least.
Yeah.
And they managed to win 6-3, but it's so hard to trust either of those teams.
Yeah, all that confidence that we had in Edmonton beating Dallas in round one, for me anyway, that's gone.
Yeah.
They look bad, dude. And like when the matchups first were announced, I said that was intriguing. I said that if Corey Crawford plays well, that could get fun. Because that was just a unique matchup. Like that was a unique problem for Edmonton to have to try and deal with. You have
very a team weak with that defenses.
Kind of, yeah, like pretty weak defensively, but really high end offensive talent. Biggest question in net is goaltending. Like if Edmonton is playing, I don't know, either one of these Arizona or Nashville teams, I'd feel a lot better about Edmonton. Like I think they would just match up better because what they have in Connor McDavid is such an advantage. And then against Chicago, there's so much offensive talent in that top six that, and both teams are bad enough defensively that they can punch counterpunch each other in ways other teams can't.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that play out right now in that series as it's high octane madness.
It's unbelievably sloppy, but and part structure of me
loves, is a suggestion in that series.
Part of me loves that type of hockey, but like watching McDavid just accidentally turn Olimata inside out and then go shelf is like it hurts me inside a little bit.
I thought it was that dude rolls out and drops a hat trick.
Yeah,
gets a little bit lucky along the way.
Third goal and, for sure. Yeah.
And like I had joked that when we were talking some of our draft kicks picks of the week, we had talked about like I said, oh, he's gonna have 8 points in three games. They're gonna get out of there. He's got seven, and it's like there's gonna be at least four games. This guy he's gonna have a 12-point series. And they could theoretically still lose that thing.
Yeah. He not only does he have 7 points in two games, but the one closest challenger to him was playing for Chicago in Kubalik, who put up 5 points in game one.
Yeah.
So I think we were onto something in picking the points leader from that series at least. But
yeah. Yeah. It was funny because the first day of all this, all of our predictions basically got lit on fire.
Yeah. Day one, it was like, oh God.
Yeah. And then like they've started to come around. Still, one game, like you still have best hopes. Yeah. So it's feeling not great.
I mean, you felt a lot better when none of the teams you picked went down 0-2 at least.
Yeah, definitely. That was And I'm still really not that concerned about Edmonton Chicago. I still think Edmonton comes out of that. Chicago's just really bad.
Yeah, I agree, mostly because you have Connor McDavid still.
Yeah, of course. But I'm thinking wherever, like, if the Avs somehow work their way to the fourth seed, I don't know if it would be the worst thing in the world anymore. Like, Connor McDavid owns the Avs, but it's like, could they handle that?
Given how terrible their forward depth looks.
Yeah.
And how terrible their defense look, and how they're just trying to scrape by with Mikko Koskinen. I wouldn't be that worried, to be honest with you. Like, if you base it on this series, you're like, all right, cool. Give McDavid 2 goals a game, and the Avs will just score 6, and it'll be fine.
Yeah, where it's like, okay, then you spot them at least 2. Don't take penalties.
Yeah.
Like, just straight up 5v5 that thing as much as possible.
Roll your
line. Decline power plays, too. Don't even mess with it. Just go
hard, 5v5. Hard match the Landy, Kadri, Nichushkin shutdown line against McDavid to just limit him where you can, and then just let McKinnon and your offensive third line just kind of run over whatever Edmonton has to offer.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, Edmonton, honestly, oh, we said it before, but none of these teams really scare me. But we can talk about that in the second period, as we do have to talk about Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer here at DNVR. I got a Breck Lager right here for you. You can head on down to the farmhouse anytime to pick yourself up some beer directly from the source. Or, of course, always go down to the DNVR bar and get it directly on tap from there. Great beer. I love all of it, whether it be the Mile High City, the lager I just showed you, the Avalanche Amber, you name it, a dozen other beers they have. They're all great. Highly recommend it. If you haven't tried it yet, get on it. Head on over to their website. You can use the Breck Beer Locator to find it near you. And of course, as AJ mentioned, DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook out there, where you can bet on just about anything, whether it be McDavid scoring the most points in the play-in round, whether it be basketball games, whether it be baseball games, while baseball is still at least kind of sort of happening out there. So jump on DraftKings Sportsbook today. They have some amazing slam dunk offers, odds boosts every single week for great chances to win yourselves way more money than you probably could have. As even with UFC especially, sometimes they have offers that are basically just giving you free money. I'm not going to lie to you. It's super easy to win a lot of money that way. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DNVR when you sign up. For a limited time, all users can get a special odds boost. Bet $20 to win $100 on any team of your choosing. That's code DNVR and boost your odds to $20 to win $100 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings. The Avs play Dallas on Wednesday.
Interesting matchup.
The Vegas game had me nervous and then gave me a lot of confidence. I'll put it that way. Seeing them go up 3-1 pretty quickly in the second period on them was like, oh, okay. That game felt a lot like the games Dallas played against Colorado in the regular season, if you can remember all the way back to October. But then watching them fold like a piece of paper, basically.
Cheap tip?
Yeah, exactly. Vegas just decided to play offense and Dallas had no answer to it. And it was like, okay, this is the team that I was not afraid of. I remember now.
Well, and Dallas even getting to the 3 is where it's like, you know, they got shut out by Nashville in the exhibition game.
Yep.
It didn't really look particularly competitive throughout that. And then the second half of that, or I guess really just the third period of that Vegas game was a total fiasco for them. But all of this sort of drives home why you and I have been kind of dismissive of them as a whole. You know, I know that they went 4-0-0 against the Avs this year. It's the only team in the NHL the Avs didn't beat.
Yep.
And I know that there are some people that are like, why are you guys just
not worried about it?
Yeah. And it's like, hey, look, like Dallas, we're not saying Dallas can't beat Colorado. They could definitely beat them tomorrow.
Yeah. In a one game scenario.
Yeah, and that's certainly possible. But in the round robin, in a best of seven. I just think Colorado will overwhelm them with talent. They have so the disparity in skill, especially as Ben continues to regress.
Yep.
It's really they've got Sagan, they've got Radulov, Gurionov's breakout has been important for them. Rupe Hintz has been important for them, and like those are solid guys, with Sagan being the only one that's like dangerous.
Well, it's not that different from what I think we talked about with the Blues, where if that team gets a lead, it's going to be harder. What happened against Vegas gives me a little more confidence even then. But if this is a tie game or the Avs are leading, the moves they made to add a bunch of old dudes, Pavelski, Perry, Sekera on the back end, this is another team that the Avs can just absolutely skate to death.
Yeah. I think, and like, given that they are committed to trying to play 2-1 hockey,
yep,
and that they're very reliant on their power play to score, they have to be extra disciplined against this team. They absolutely cannot give that power play unit very many cracks at it. We saw it even during one of the keys to their success against the Avs this year was their power play ate up the Avs PK. And you know, if you only have to score, you're only going to score three goals in a game, and you put them on the PK and you give them a freebie. You know, there was that one game where they had in Dallas that I covered that it was just that penalty parade.
Yep.
At the beginning of the game,
they couldn't stay out of the box to save their lives.
It was like Sam Girard took a penalty on the first shift of the game, and then they were in the box for the first like 6 minutes of that game. Yep. They were down 1-0 before anybody had even settled in. And that was also the broken stick game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, which is another reason why you and I have kind of been like,
Some of the goals they've scored against the Avs have been pretty chintzy, man.
Yeah. And like two of those games, because they played Dallas twice in a week back then, we're in November of last year. And it's August now. Like, there's a 4 month break from the season, and then there's these guys played each other last November. Like, come on. It's not terribly instructive, but I will say that the special teams take on an elevated importance here, because they just can't let Dallas have free shots at offense. Dallas has such a hard time creating offensively that they need the power play.
I mean, it's what they're built to do. Their offense is pretty top heavy, and their defense is built around guys like Haskinen and Klingberg.
Yeah.
That's just a team that's built to score on the power play and then shut you down, basically. With that being said, I do think their defense is a little bit overrated. When you're leaning on someone like Sekera to play significant minutes for you, your top minute player is Esa Lindell.
Yeah, I think Lindell is where you say overrated. I feel like Lindell, he got that big contract, and like he's okay. But I, as their top minute guy, it's like, what are you doing?
It feels excessive.
Like, Miro Haskinen's your horse. You guys have to figure that out. Is one thing that's nice about Jared Bednar. You look at their top ice time guys against St. Louis. Sam Girard is an even strength guy, and Cale Makar leads in all ice time.
Yep,
among D. And it's like, those are the guys you want to ride. Those are the guys that you want to throw out there and see eating up most of the minutes. Even though the third pairing played well against St. Louis, you're still saying, hey, like, we got. Especially because they were down 1-0 for such a long time that, hey, you want to see those guys out there a little more often.
Yep.
Maybe not so much together. I think as much as we loved the idea of turn and burn, we keep seeing it this year, and it just keeps not working out very well.
I mean, tiptoeing around this conversation, putting Makar and Gerard out there in a system that has emphasized shots from the point, it gets a little bit clunky.
Yeah, well, because Makar doesn't like to shoot from the point. He wants to walk in with the puck, and Gerard can't shoot from the point.
Right, exactly.
He had the one shot on the second power play unit the other day, and it was just like,
why are we even doing this?
Predictably a waste of time, where it's like, that's just, it's at this point in his career, it straight up is not who he is.
Someone told him to shoot, and he shot, but stop.
Yeah, it's like there are times where he needs to shoot it, you know, where he's got a wide open shooting lane. He gets way too cute with it. That was not one of those times.
Yep.
But whatever. That's neither here nor there. The Stars, I'm just not super afraid of. They've got some talent. They've got a little bit of speed. But pretty much everything that they have, the Avs can match.
It's the same story as every other team in this bubble, right? The only thing you're afraid of is a hot goaltender. And Ben Bishop just got bodied by the Vegas Golden Knights in game one. So
you wonder, does that pop the bubble or does that refocus him?
I see what you did there with popping the bubble.
Yeah. Did you see a player left the bubble today?
I didn't.
Yeah. I don't remember who it was, but had a baby. So he left the bubble.
Oh, yeah. Was it Fiala? No, it must not have been Fiala. I don't know who it was. But I remember seeing something like that on NBCSN where he's like, yeah, I'm here, but when my baby's coming, I'm leaving.
Yeah. I don't remember who it was, but left. And then they said that when he comes back, he actually has to quarantine. He's got to have four days of consecutive negative tests. Over four straight days until he's allowed to actually return to hockey activities. Oh, it was Ivan Barbashev.
There you go. Thank you. It's super interesting
that he's able to leave that bubble and go do that and then come back.
Re-quarantine and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and like for St. Louis, it's a good break that he's not important. And like he's not a huge part of what they do.
That's not Tarasenko. Like,
right. That's not like if Ryan O'Reilly left, you're like, oh boy, that's
they're in trouble.
He comes back. Like he ends up missing, he ends up missing their last round robin game. He misses the first two games of the series.
If they're in whatever a hole or whatever or something. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, oh man, that's really, or it's like Bennington.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely would be more of a story, I think.
Yeah, like he's a nice player on their fourth line, but not. Which I guess neither we're looking at this just from a blood sport perspective, but I think it's cool that they're allowing him to go do that, and that they also have a protocol in place where it's not like he just pops into the bubble and is like, hey, I'm back, everything's fine, I'm super healthy, I promise.
I mean, right. Good that they're following protocols. Good that they let him go. I think it's a win-win all the way around here.
Definitely. Right? I didn't know for sure what they had planned for situations like that, because we did know, like, hockey players plan babies around the offseason.
Yep.
Did not know that a pandemic was coming. So, it was – I think it's really cool that the NHL is allowing that.
Yeah, I agree. Look, there are, as much as I love hockey being back, and I hope it stays back, there are bigger things in the world than hockey. Yeah. And having a child is certainly one of those things.
let me tell you, man, as much as this is cool and like the bubble is neat and all that, I have no faith that they can do a regular season at this point. Just watching the MLB.
Yeah, that's a disaster, man. Just even trying to travel seems like.
Yeah. I'm not even trying to think about it because I'm like, November's going to get here and we still won't have figured this out.
Yeah. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. For now, we're just looking at the quest for the asterisk. Don't think that far.
For an hour, just trying to get through the round robin.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So we can take our second period break there, as, of course, our number one hockey sponsor here, Green Mountain Dental Group, looking after teeth, take care of everything when you end up taking a puck to the face, now that I believe some beer leagues are now back open, or men's leagues, or whatever you play hockey. People are getting back on the ice and taking pucks to the face again. So Green Mountain Dental Group has you covered. They're just 15 minutes outside of downtown Denver in Lakewood. So be sure to give them a visit. Our sales manager, Lindsay, actually just went there a couple of weeks ago to get her wisdom teeth removed. And she said it was one of the best dental experiences of her entire life. They even send you a personal card back to your home after becoming a new patient to let you know and schedule when you need to go in there and get your checkups. So they got you covered. Even if you need a new toothbrush when you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, they will send you a free Sonicare toothbrush. So be sure to tweet and let everybody know when you go. You'll get all hooked up, and it will be the best a dental experience can be. Dude. Yo, what?
Taylor Hall is a man possessed in this game.
Just popped off. He's trying to drag Arizona to decency.
He's all over the place. He and Ryan Ellis got into a big old fight.
All right.
He's playing like an animal today.
So we'll just go ahead and clip that for when the Avs sign him. Got it. Third period of the DNVR
Avalanche. I love that we just casually talk about it like it's going to happen. And like every time that we do, somebody will message me and be like, they can't afford him. And it's just like,
well, maybe they can.
I don't want to have this conversation again. Wait until October.
Anyway, the focus on Dallas. Let me put it this way first. We can ramp this up by saying, do you believe the Avs get a top two seed?
Yes.
All right. So let's assume the Avs finish 1-2. What are they looking at for opponents in the first round right now? We kind of mentioned Edmonton. If they make it out, the Avs would not be playing them as a 1 or 2 seed.
Yeah, well, and that's if Colorado gets the top seed and Chicago wins that series, it's Chicago.
That's who it is, right? And that team, I think the Avs blow up, basically.
They smoked them in the regular season, except for that really weird third period comeback in Denver. In their fourth matchup of the season, where the Avs were trying to finish off the season sweep.
Yep.
And Chicago scored like 3 goals in 6 minutes. And what was an Avs game that they were controlling.
And they just kind of collapsed. Yeah.
Yeah. And that kicked off their like
that run of terrible goaltending. And yeah.
Well, and like the games that they just that weird stretch in December, early January, where they couldn't hold a lead in the third period.
Yep. They had the Carolina game. Yeah.
Yeah. They had Carolina. They had the Chicago game. They rolled into Vegas and then blew out Vegas. And it was super random because it was like, oh, these guys can't hold a lead. And they went in there and Nichushkin scores off his face. And it was just such a weird stretch of the season.
Yep.
And they lost that. They lost at home to Minnesota because that was when they were like begging Frankie to take the starting goaltender job.
Yep.
They were like,
and
please.
He just couldn't do it. And yeah.
He totally fell apart against Minnesota. It was just such a weak performance. And yeah, it was a weird part of the season, but that's where that would be right now. Arizona is the 11 seed. So if, you know, they win that series, the 1 seed.
That best the 2 seed. 1 or 2 seed has to play Arizona no matter what if they move on.
Yep. If they get a top 2 seed, the big thing that they really avoid is the Calgary Winnipeg.
Yep.
They're guaranteed to avoid that series.
The 8-9 sneaky team type of thing.
Yeah. And, you know, watching that series, This really reinforces it, like, hey,
don't be afraid of anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm certainly not afraid of anybody in the West. I'll put it that way. I think the Avs in a 7-game series,
Has there been anybody that in the qualifying round that you've watched so far out west where you're like, ooh, I don't want them in the first?
Not really.
The only team that gives me pause has been Minnesota.
Even Minnesota, I wouldn't be particularly worried about.
Me neither. Like, I'm like, look, they didn't play very well in the exhibition game and still beat them.
Yep. Exactly.
If they bring their A game, they will crush those dudes.
Yeah, I don't know what there is to be afraid of, given I think particularly after making that video about the Avs defense in the lead up to this, I think I've been underestimating how strong this team is defensively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have. I've been trying to hammer away at it all year. This is a top 10 defensive team, and on a good day, man, maybe top five.
Yeah. Like, I knew they were good, but they do not make anyone's life easy when it comes to scoring goals. You aren't seeing games like this Edmonton-Chicago series where you get free lanes to the net. It's not every goal that you grind out against these guys. It's either, honestly, most of the time comes down to a pretty minor mistake that you had to make the perfect play on, or maybe there was a miscommunication.
Or it's on the, or it's a PK.
Yeah, sure. Or someone took a penalty. But like, they're five.
Special teams is great.
They are pretty much a complete package at 5-on-5. It's hard to argue against.
Well, and that's where you look at when we're talking in the off season about them moving on from a guy like a Zadorov, or I guess lesser conversations have been like maybe they move on from Cole.
Yeah.
Maybe they sell high on Graves, you know, things like that. But with the six that they have, you know, they've got four really good skaters in Zadorov, Johnson, Makar, Girard, and then Cole's fine. Like, I wouldn't put him as a plus or a negative as a skater, and I would have Graves as the only negative skater. But beyond that, like, so you've got, they've got good feet, really, like, physically. EJ is an underrated physical defender. He likes to get his hands on guys a lot more, especially at this point in his career. He gets a lot more physical with dudes than we give him credit for. Zadorov and Cole, that's what they do.
Yep.
And then we saw with Makar the other day, he has no issues playing that game. It's really just Girard that doesn't like to do that.
And he plays defense in other ways that are just fine.
Right. He's a really effective defender in the ways that he is successful.
Yep.
So it's a really, like, the group is varied in what it does well. I would say they could really use one more solid puck mover, because EJ at this stage of his career doesn't do that so much. Like, it was weird because during training camp, he was all over the place. He was doing it every day. And then the game started, and it was like he went right back into that safe shell where he was like, I don't want to do that.
I mean, yeah. And this is the future of why the Avs are trying to eventually get Connor Timmins and Bowen Byram into the lineup.
Yeah, two more effective puck-moving guys.
And I mean, it's exactly that. The reality of Connor Timmins and Bowen Byram is the Avs probably want these guys to slot into more relatively defensive roles with puck moving ability.
Yeah.
Long in the immediate, likely to replace Nikita Zadorov, but long term, probably also looking at being an Eric Johnson replacement as far as role.
Yeah, definitely.
So it.
Well, it's 3-0 Nashville.
Yep. All right. So that series is going 1-1. If Nashville wins, if the Avs get a top two seed, it's non-issue, at least for round one, because the Nashville at six seed at highest would be playing the third seed from the West. So
yeah.
It's unfortunately still very unclear in the West, because with Nashville likely tying up that series, Canucks Wild play tonight. There are no 2-0s. The East is much more clear cut with Carolina leading 2-0 and the Isles leading 2-0. So the West, as always, always extremely competitive.
Murky. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there any series that you feel differently about, even though we might just be one game into them, like Minnesota, Arizona? Like, those are, I guess that game's at 3-0 now, so we're feeling like that's probably gonna be tied up. But are there, from what you've seen so far, are there any series that you feel differently about, East or West?
I think I'd still pick the same winners in every series. Mm-hmm. Definitely feeling way less confident in Vancouver.
They were so bad.
Yeah, it was not a fun game to watch.
Well, and they were bad in the exhibition, and then they followed it up and were like, no, we're still not here.
Yep. So honestly, other than that, I think everything is pretty much on schedule for me. I guess Boston losing to Tampa Bay was a little bit surprising, but I knew that the Eastern lost round robin was going to be a bloodbath. Oh, yeah, I lost to Philly 4-1. Sorry.
Yeah. I didn't see that game, so I have no opinion on it whatsoever. All I saw was the score. Like,
I knew that round robin was going to be a bloodbath, so
yeah,
just didn't think that was quite how it was going to play out. But yeah, this is the West, for as murky as it is, this is exciting. This is exactly what I wanted out of like a playoff super tournament. It's gonna be a wire to wire banger, I think.
It's been really fun so far, and the schedule. I would say the only thing is that Colorado being in the round robin means that the schedule sucks for us.
Right, three days off after they returned. Yeah.
Right, because it's like, I don't know what to write about today.
Yep.
Practice is going on. We can't see it. We don't know if there's line changes or whatever, and like, we'll do media afterwards, and I'm sure Mike Chambers has taken on the role of asking Jared Bednar what were your lines during practice question? Like, were there any changes? So I'm sure we'll definitely get that information, but if Bednar doesn't like to reveal what's going to happen before.
Yeah.
And so, like, we may not know.
He's always been murky about that. And then all of a sudden you show up and Namestnikov's on the first line and you're like, hold on.
Yeah. Well, and we may not know which goalie is going until tomorrow.
When I definitely don't warm-ups. Think we'll get to know that one, but.
And it's like, it's just like, I don't know what to write about because this is such a weird, like, dead space.
Yep.
Where there's nothing really for me to talk about. Ab's perspective, like, normally things aren't going perfectly, and so there's things to break down, there's things to talk about. As of right now, they won the exhibition game, they're 1-0 in the round robin, they kind of control their own fate right now. I was wrong about if they get the top seed, they avoid Calgary, Winnipeg. They would obviously, if all of them win out, they would get Calgary.
All right, so the second seed is the key.
Wouldn't that be interesting to run that back with Colorado as the top seed the next year?
Mm-hmm.
After they reversed Calgary
last time, yeah.
That would be kind of fun.
I mean, Sean asked, do they switch goalies? It's something they've talked about in the round robin. It's some, if you're going to give Frankie any opportunity, you have to give him a round robin game.
Yeah.
You can't have him going cold into playoff games that could eliminate or push you towards elimination. That's not off the table. Maybe the Avs say, hey, we're just going to go with Grubauer, but you're locking yourself into that decision if you don't give Frankie a round robin game.
Yeah, and we talked about this in the postgame show. If you wanted to go Grubauer today because he played so well against St. Louis that you're hoping that he just gets into that rhythm and that all of a sudden, you know, he's at the top of his game and you're trying to ride that, that's fine. That sucks for Frankie. But if Grubauer's playing well, like, that's life, right?
Yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right. Like, there may not be a need for them to get cute and, You know, this isn't choosing a goaltender is not a democratic process.
Yep.
You know, there's nothing that says Jared Bednar needs to give Pavel Francouz a game in the round robin. He said before it started, I don't remember if it was after exhibition or before, but he said that the plan was to swap them in and out throughout the round robin. But if Grubauer played that well against St. Louis, he might just say, go do it again. And if Gruby does it again, we just won't see Fran.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the case. The Avs have wanted Grubauer to be the number one all along, and it is what it is. So
yeah, I mean, there's logic in doing both, right?
Yep.
Like, if they give Frankie the game and he goes out and he plays great, great. That's also acceptable.
Take wins where you can find them, man.
Definitely. And if Grubauer, I don't know. I would start Frankie because I'm fair-minded that way, and I think Frankie deserves it. But I would understand if they were like, hey, Grubauer is great.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can just turn that into him, into that being a rhythm for him.
I'd have no complaints either way.
It's fine.
Couple other questions before we wrap up the show. If injuries occur, could Byram be that guy? Mm-hmm. I doubt it. Yeah. He's defenseman number 10, basically.
You know, I swear, if they played Anton Lindholm ahead of him, I would be so frustrated.
I mean, presumably Connaughton is one.
And Timmins two.
And Timmins two with Barbario probably three.
And that's only because that's what we saw out of camp.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, in the exhibition game, those were the guys that they played.
So, I mean, yeah, whether they're playing Anton Lindholm at four, Byram at four as the fourth man up, things have gotten desperate for the Avs at that point.
Yeah, that's true. It would take multiple injuries to get there. At this point, Timmins should be ahead of him on that.
Yeah, 100% based on camp.
Yeah. I mean, he just outplayed him. He's got pro experience. He's checked all the boxes in terms of proper development here. He's checked all the boxes. Now all he's doing is waiting for opportunity on a good team.
Yep. So soon enough, it will come, whether it be playoffs or not. Henry asks, what if Colorado versus Vegas in the Western Conference Finals?
It means they made the conference finals. Sign me up.
Exactly. I don't really care who the Avs play in the conference finals, and yeah, Vegas particularly, I think would be.
I would sort of love that, but I would also sort of be like, look, you're an expansion franchise that now has been in the conference finals two of your first 3 years. It's getting a little old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, them losing in brutal fashion in the first round last year felt like,
all right, now you're a hockey team.
Yeah, exactly. Like, now your fan base understands what's up. Yeah. Now you guys understand what the rest of us have to deal with.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, if that happened, I think that would be a great series. I think that might be where this is headed. And it would be a hell of a lot of fun.
JT asks, where are the practices at? I believe they're in the Oilers practicing facilities, which are attached to the building.
They've got a bunch of different sheets of ice that they're rotating around and using.
Yep.
All I know is that the Avs have enough practice time at or at whatever, wherever they're doing it, that they are running both of their groups every day.
Yep.
So they're running the main practice, and then they're running the Black Aces.
So they have ice if they need it, basically.
Yeah.
Last question, Cygnus asks, do you think we'll see any new people in the lineup tomorrow, like LOC? Maybe. No. You think you'll keep it the same?
I would think Nieto's got a good chance, but otherwise, I would not. I know that there are guys who didn't play very well, Burakovsky for sure. But
you're not taking him out of the lineup,
though. Right? You're not going to sit him after a game. No, not that's not that conversation is what I'm saying. It's like, you maybe not on the top line, or maybe he has a shorter leash in game, but that's not a guy that you're just pulling out of the lineup.
if the Avs win this game and they're 2-0, they guarantee them a top two seed. I think it's a conversation for maybe the third game of the round robin.
You could, well, and it would kind of depend on what happens after that, right?
Right.
Like, because they don't have, because if they're 2-0 and St. Louis wins,
I mean, I don't think it won't matter either way, right? Because if St. Louis wins, then Dallas or then Vegas loses. So either way, they have someone like, and they'll play Vegas if they're 2-0 for the third game.
Yeah. And
so either way, they'll be playing for the one seed if they beat Dallas.
Yeah. Well, and just the schedule being that the Avs in Vegas play before St. Louis, Dallas.
So you won't know the result.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, I don't think that they would get, I don't think they could get too cute. LLC may not even be their 14th guy.
Yeah. Anyway.
He should be, but I'm not, you know.
No need to get into that on this pod anyway. It's like we said, the goalies on this one, man. Why mess with a good thing here?
Definitely. And like with the forward core, like nothing's like this is working out.
Yep. It's gone good, pretty darn well for the Avs so far. So on that note,
wouldn't mess with the defense and any of that.
Yeah. Wrap it up here as the Avs continue through their round robin and the play-in rounds start to head towards their ends. But other than that, Manscaped is your go-to place when you're sitting around watching hockey, have nothing to do. You know what? You can shave your balls while you watch. Get 20% off with code DNVR20 and free shipping as well when you head to manscaped.com to check out. And you can use all of their amazing products, whether it be the lawnmower 3.0 with the LED light on it to see all the cracks and crevices you need to get into, as well as everything else in their perfect package, whether it be the Shears 2.0, a luxury four-piece nail kit for tempered stainless steel tools, whether you need tweezers, whether you just need nail clippers, whether you want to get your nails did. It's even for the ladies as well. They got you covered top to bottom. Get your breath mints, get your cologne, manscaped.com. No super awesome transition today, but you know, it was going to be hard to top my last one. So we just got to get this one over and done with, but be sure to check out manscaped.com. Thank you everyone for watching or listening, however you consume the podcast. Y'all know the drill. We will be back tomorrow with another live post-game pod from the DNVR bar, I believe. So enjoy the game, and we will talk to you guys then.